Women's Conference about a month ago that I was asked to speak at. And so I had a word. I knew it was a God word. And so spoke that there at the Women's Conference. And so I told Pastor, I said, if you want to, I'll speak on this date, October 1st. And he said, yeah, I want you to do that. Little did we know that he would be so involved this week with his mom and with the events that will surround her passing, her funeral, and memorial service. So it's neat how God does that, right? All right. Well, we're just going to have a time with Jesus this morning. I want to ask you to open your hearts because he is here to speak to you today. He knew that you would be coming. He knew the rain would fall. He knew which ones were going to be trying to go to Gretna Fest. He knew, you know, it happens every year during Mardi Gras, during Gretna Fest. We kind of have a little fall off, but he knew that we were going to be here this morning. So the word that I'm going to speak to you today, you might get a little giggle, and some of you might not know what it even means, so I'll give you a little bit of explanation, but it's by Felicia. All right? All right. Now, how many of you do not know what that means? All right, so I'm going to give you a little explanation. It's in pop culture, and when you've aggravated somebody or they want to see you out of the conversation, they don't want your opinion, they'd rather not be around because you're ignoring them, they might go, come on, say it with me. Bye, Felicia. All right? One of Pastor and I's African-American pastors, I put it on Facebook last night, and I put hashtag by Felicia, and he texted me. He said, is that your message title? I said, it absolutely is. And he said, well, you got to make sure that your eyes get real big and your neck rolls and your hand goes. And I said, listen, I'm going to do as well as a white girl can do. And he said, that's my friend. That's my friend. So by Felicia. Bye, Felicia. And the point is, we are going to move past our past. We're going to say goodbye to the past. Is it time for you? Are you ready to say bye, Felicia, to your past? All right. Well, I'm going to give you a good way to use this term because you know it's going to come up real quick. In fact, when we went to the women's conference, and this was one of the words that I had, I spoke two times. We all weekend long, everybody was saying bye, Felicia, because it just kind of fit with everything. But, you know, you might go home tonight or this afternoon after church and you're tired. You're trying to maybe get lunch together. Your kids are pulling at your, you know, your shirt tail, or your husband wants this, or, you know, thank goodness the Saints played early today, or he'd be wanting wings and all that kind of stuff. And you just want to turn to him sometimes and say, bye, Felicia, because you are busy and they're sitting down on there, as Brother Kenny says, they're rusty dusty, and they're just asking you for thing after thing after thing. That is a good application for that word, okay? But you know, the enemy comes into our heart and he comes into our life and he wants to steal from us. He wants to tempt us, and he does daily. He wants to remind you of your past. He wants to steal things from your life. And it's time for you to say bye, Felicia, to him. See, you're catching it already. So we want to today start by saying bye, Felicia, to moving past and move past our past. Now, we do have one Felicia in the house. Do we have any? Come on, Felicia, raise your hand. Are there any other Felicias? All right, we got one. No, you're not Felicia. You're Enrico. That is our son-in-law. And anyway, his name is, he goes by Eric. His name is Enrique. And one time I called him Enrico, and it just kind of stuck. But Felicia, you know, when I was preparing this message for the first event, Pastor said, what if there's somebody there by Felicia? I said, everybody knows it's just a saying. You're not going to take it personal, will you? All right. Okay. So we're talking about moving past our past. There are times that we need to move past the past of dead religion and not having a relationship with Christ. Can I tell you that just because you came into this building today does not mean that you're a Christian? There is a path to God. And like we sang with our worship team this morning, come to the altar. The altar is the presence of God. And come and put yourself before the Lord and repent of your sins. But religion itself will not save you and I. And it's time for us to move past the thought that a religion can save us. How about moving past sin, areas of sin in our life, moving past wrong decisions that we've made in the past? Has anybody made a wrong decision here or there? A wrong turn in the road, right? Well, you know, that doesn't have to define you. You can move past that wrong decision. How about abuses of various kinds? You know, there's abuse all over the place. And you can move past that. Bad influences, bad friendships, words spoken over us that keep us bound, that have also almost become our identity because someone has spoken a negative word in just the right time in our life. It's time to move past that. You know, we have a great illustration in the Bible with the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and so he was a great man of God. God used him mightily. But do you know that he was once a murderer of Christians? Now, I want you to think about that. And just for a moment, because the Word tells us to forget those things that are past. But just for a moment, just allow one thing that you've ever done wrong to come up before you. Now think of Paul, who ordered the execution of so many Christians. Paul must have dealt with incredible guilt. Think about the things that Paul did, and then how God called him and how God used him. But yet, we don't see that he struggled with guilt in his writings. Let's look at this scripture in Philippians 3. And it goes from 3 to 7. Paul said, we rely on what Christ has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort, though I could have confidence in my own effort if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. And here he goes. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. That was part of the Jewish law. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. I am a real Hebrew, if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church, and as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. Pick up your Bible or your phone and say, I have not obeyed this without fault. But yet, Paul, before his salvation, said that I have obeyed the law without fault. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. And just like Paul, we have to close the door to our past. And not only close it, man, we need to nail those doors shut. The things that lead to our past hurts, past events, we need to nail those things shut. When we do, sometimes it might seem like we don't have anything left. Sometimes when we come to Christ, it can strip us of so many things because we've had to say goodbye to friends. We've had to say goodbye to places that we go. We've had to say goodbye to girlfriends, say goodbye to boyfriends, say goodbye to even some family members or close friends. And it leaves us feeling stripped. It can leave us feeling like we have nothing left. But I have good news for you today. God has a purpose and a plan. And once you say yes to Jesus, he will never leave you without. He will always add to your life. So as we begin to let those things fall off of our life and move past our past, then God is going to add new things into our life. Be patient, because God wants to do something new and different in you. So forget about it. Forget about the past. Philippians 3:13 says, I have not achieved perfection, but I focus on this one thing. Now, guys, when Paul the Apostle, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, says, I focus on this one thing, don't you think we should kind of listen to what that one thing is? Because he was very successful in his walk with Christ. He says, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. There is a real past. Each of us has one. It might be a decent past. It might not be horrible and jaded and filled with all kind of things that we don't want uncovered. But yet, it's our past before Christ. And it's time for us to forget the past. And, you know, to do that is an ongoing thing. You might think, I'm going to forget the past. And the next thing you know, here it comes up again. And you, what do you have to do at that point? You have to forget the past. You have to put the past behind you. And you're walking along and you're doing great. And here comes that enemy. And what does he want to do? Remind you of your past. And so what do you have to do? Forget the past. It's an ongoing thing, because the enemy is a tormentor. And so anytime that you are feeling torment, or like a thought process that continues to come up and you cannot get victory over, and it keeps messing with your mind, you know that that is the devil. That's the enemy. He is tormenting you. A friend of ours, I say a friend of ours because he's a pastor, but he doesn't know us. But we love him. His name is Charles Neiman. He's a pastor in El Paso, and he's got a huge, great church. That was kind of funny. You cannot grab what is in your future if you hold on to your past. You have to press on to get what is out there for you. And so there are things that are out there for you that God has. Great blessings, wonderful things that God has for each and every one of us. God has those things for us. But if we don't release that branch that we're holding on to, have you ever seen that little picture where the guy is holding on to the branch and the Lord is right there underneath him and he's saying, let go? And the guy's holding on to the branch. He's afraid to let go of the grip because he's afraid to fall. But God is right there to catch him. And that's what we have to do. Just let go. You cannot grab what's in your future if you're still holding on to your past. 1 Peter 4:3 says, you have had enough in the past of evil things that godless people enjoy, immorality and lust and feasting and drunkenness and wild parties and their terrible worship of idols. In the Old Testament, we have a wonderful example of moving past our past. Some of you might know the story of Joshua and the Israelites. That's what we're going to talk about today. Saying bye, Felicia, and moving past our past. There are times in our life that you need a real heart-to-heart, especially girls. Girls, do we sometimes just need somebody to have like a heart-to-heart with? Who am I preaching to this morning, right? We just need a heart-to-heart. And sometimes, even if we can just get it out and they don't give us any advice, it just feels better once we've had a heart-to-heart. Well, you know, God and Joshua were about to have some real FaceTime. Amen. Just a real heart to heart. My newest grandbaby, Evangeline, she's right there. There she is. Oh, she's so cute. They'll put her sometime on FaceTime for me. And so, you know, that's such a sweet thing. I'm sure some of you do the same. It's not just my wonderful grandchild that does that. But, you know, they'll get on FaceTime with me, or I'll get a text from Elias, or Kiki sometimes will FaceTime me. That's a wonderful feeling, isn't it? Well, God and Joshua had FaceTime, but they didn't have the iPad in between. Joshua was God's next plan. Let's read about it in the scripture here. Joshua 1:1-5. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, and he said, "Moses, my servant is dead." Now, you know, when you hear those words, that it's generally not going to be a good thing, right? But here we're going to see that there was still a plan even after the death of Moses. "Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on the land that I have given you. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you." You know, there are events in our life that will just smack you. Like, they just affect you that way. They grab you, and they're just so either horrific or absolutely awesomely wonderful that they'll just smack you. They grab you, and they vie for your attention. 16 years ago on 9/11, I was sleeping snugly in my bed, and there is nothing funny about 9/11. But the events that transpired in our home were a little comical. On the flip side, my husband came into our bedroom. He had dropped, I'm going to say it was Rachel, off at school. And he dropped Rachel off at school, came home, turned on the news. And, of course, 9/11 was happening with the planes crashing into the building. But this is how I heard about it. He walks into the bedroom, opens the door. "Becky, get up! They're bombing America!" Out of a dead sleep, that's how I heard about 9/11. Well, of course, you didn't have to have me hit the snooze alarm. He had my attention. That event smacked me in the face. It brought me to reality, right? I was up then. There wasn't anything that was gonna allow me to go back to bed. You know, my husband every week uses me as an example. So that's a tiny payback. I'm having a little sympathy on him this morning because he's dealing with his mama's death. And so I'm not gonna go in real hard for the kill. But you just wait next time. I'm going to have a few extra zingers right in there for them. But when we're moving past our past, God will do that. He will just lay out the facts for us. So let's talk about it. How can we move past our past? Number one, accept the reality. You have to go, okay, this is what happened. This is the reality. And so now I want to move past my past. God said, "Now Moses, my servant, is dead." He just laid it right out there. He didn't candy coat it. He didn't sugarcoat it. He just said, "Moses, my servant, is dead." Now, I mean, Moses was an incredible guy. He was an incredible man of God. We're going to talk about that in just a little while. But many of us can point back to times in our life where we know exactly where we were. Do you know exactly where you were when you found out what happened to our city after Katrina? Can you visualize and remember that? How about the Challenger incident? When that happened, do you know where you were when that happened? 9/11. I was laying comfy in a bed till my husband came and roused me sweetly from my sleep and said, "Baby, it's time to get up, honey. I got some news for you." So I know exactly where I was for all three of those things. How about you? There may be other events in your life that you can mark a time. I had a brother-in-law pass away suddenly at 45, I believe. And it was sudden. It was quick. I know I was in church. It was a Sunday morning. And the church was about half this size, and it wasn't as long. And I was sitting over here running a soundboard because I had to sing and run the soundboard. So we would press play on a tape and run over here and sing. And I heard the phone ring in the back of the church. And I knew in my heart, and he wasn't ill, but I knew in my heart what had happened. It was Bill. And that the Lord said, "It's Bill," to my heart. And so I ran the soundboard, and I was singing, and I was answering the phone. I went and answered the phone and had to get to Mercy Hospital, where he had passed. He was a pastor. pastoring with his three children and wife on the front row. That was my sister and her three children. And he passed preaching, doing God's will, doing what God's purpose was for his life. And he fell out right there in front of his family, just like where Pastor and I sit. And his three children were right there. His wife was right there. And a church packed with people, just changing the world. But his time was up. His time was over. And that time, that moment, is forever etched in all of our family's mind as to where we were. You know, things like that can be defining moments in our life. And we can remember them with such clarity. We remember everything that happened to us. We remember all the things that preceded it and followed it. But you know, and I'm saying this, and I know that I have grieving hearts here this morning even. They do not have to define who we are. It can be a defining moment, but it does not need to define the rest of the course of our life. Because God has a plan for your life. Isn't that right? Okay, so your defining moment may have sounded something like this. I don't love you anymore. I'm done with this relationship. We're going to cut back on employees, so there's no longer any need for you to be here. And so we're coming to take your house, or we're coming to take your vehicle from you, whatever that transpires to be. Mom, I'm going to have a baby. Those words, those may be some of your defining moments, but they do not need to define you. We need to stop, accept the reality, and know that even in those painful times, that God is with us. And we are going to take Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. Amen. So all those things will work together for good in your life. So number one is accept what has happened. Number two, listen for direction. God is not going to leave you out there without a plan. He's going to talk to you if you're listening to hear his voice. God will speak in tragedy, in trauma, and in triumph. And sometimes we need him to speak in all those times. We're going through a horrible time. We went through a time that was traumatic. Or sometimes when we're on the top of the world and here comes the enemy. You know, you're not always in trauma when bad things happen. Sometimes the world is great around you, and all of a sudden, something happens even in the midst of your triumph. When Katrina happened, that we were doing well in the church we were at. It was a small church, but it was doing well. And then Katrina happened, and the Lord spoke to Pastor, and he said, West Point Church, 2006. Okay, so we were doing well as far as the church. Then something traumatic happened, and then the Lord brought us here. And you know, if you guys weren't here, this triumph would never have happened. It would have ended in the trauma of Katrina that happened all those years ago. God spoke, and he said, the time has come for you, Joshua. And so I want to ask you, what is now the time for you to do? What has come? What opportunity is coming? And what has your name on it? Number three is prepare to step up and step in. So we're going to accept it. We're going to listen for the voice of God. And then we're going to get ready to step up and step in. We're going to move past our past. Moses was top notch. He was the top echelon of people. He was trained in the Pharaoh's home. The Pharaoh was the leader of all Egypt, and he was trained in his home as a son. So he also knew God face to face. How many people know God? And that kind of relationship. He led 1 million Israelites. I mean, even Joel Osteen doesn't do that, y'all. I mean, right? Okay. So, I mean, he had to lead a million people of God's people. He performed great miracles. You remember the plagues and all those things that came upon the Israelites. And so he performed great and mighty miracles. His shoes were tremendous to fill. But can I say to you, each one of you, God has a calling on your life. And there are big shoes for you to fill. God is waiting for some of you to step up and say, yes, I will do that. Yes, I can do that. And it's not in your strength and it is not in your power, but it's a power that God has placed upon you for the purpose that he has called you for. Deuteronomy 34, 10 through 12 says, there has never been another prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. The Lord sent him to perform all the miraculous signs and wonders in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh and all his servants and his entire land. With mighty power, Moses performed terrifying acts in all of Israel. Now think about being Joshua. He's the follow-up guy. He's the plan B. You know, that's how he felt. He was really God's plan A for when Moses passed through this earth. And so Joshua here, he is following this man that there's never been another prophet like him. God knew face to face. The Lord sent him to perform all the miraculous signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. Think of, what if you were called to do this? I'll just use Ruby. And the Lord sent Ruby to perform all the miraculous signs and wonders in the United States of America. Wow, that would be amazing, right? Okay, but then here's Joshua, and he hasn't done any of that stuff. He's like brand new, as they say, wet behind the ears. He's a young pup, and here he is having to fill in for God's man who there has never been anyone like before. He had to say, yes, I'll step up. He had to say yes to God's plan. Joshua and God's people had just also experienced the great loss of their leader. Think about this. At the same time God is calling him up, he has also experienced one of the greatest losses of his life and the loss of his leader, his pastor, you might say in today's vernacular. But can I tell you, God does not stop with loss. He is not finished because we have lost something, someone, some position, some church, some home, some job, a marriage, a spouse, friends, family, a church we loved, our community. I'm thinking of Puerto Rico this morning, and we're thinking still of Texas and how they were affected by Harvey. We can feel their pain because of Katrina. Here we are, all those years past, and I've mentioned Katrina, I think, three times. We still mention it regularly in conversation because it impacted our life. But can I tell you, God's plan did not stop with that loss, and God's plan for you does not stop with the loss that you have experienced and the hurt that you have felt and the pain that has come your way. God still has a plan for you. God had a plan, and it started with Joshua. Guess what? God has a plan, and it's starting here today with you. Number four, hear God's challenge to move past your past. God said to Joshua in Joshua 1, 6 through 9, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors. Think about that a second. God is telling him, okay, you're going to need to be strong and courageous. You're the one. You're the one. You are the one. Take that to heart this morning. You are the one that God is calling. And he said, I'm calling you to possess this land that I swore to all of these people and all of their mamas, daddies, grandma, grandpa, auntie, the whole place, all of them. All the hopes are riding on you because I called you. Yeah. Moses, my servant, is dead, and I'm calling you. Now it's your turn to step up. Be strong, he says again, and very courageous. Be careful to obey the instructions Moses gave you. And I've read this. I've been in church all my life, y'all. I've read this, heard it, seen it on screens, and never realized this. He said, obey all the instruction Moses gave you. He didn't say that I gave you. So Joshua was close enough to Moses that he knew what to do. He was close enough. And so he was a disciple. He had become a disciple of his pastor. And this is just an interjection from pastors to sheep, from shepherd to sheep. God has put you in a place to be discipled by your pastor. And if you're close enough, you will know what God has said because God told your pastor and your pastor tells you. That is the chain of command. Now, you can hear from God. So I'm not trying to say that. You can all hear from God. But I just thought this was really neat that listen to the instructions Moses gave you. What did Moses tell you? Go back to that. That's going to help you. Don't deviate from them. Turn neither to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction. Meditate it day and night so you'll prosper to obey in everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Third time. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So, guys, here's the challenge. Get a backbone. Through Jesus, you have the power to do the things that he has called you to do and to fulfill the purpose that he has called you for. Don't wait on others. Don't wait on somebody else. Amen. Say, God, what do you have for me to do? And then come and speak to Pastor. Come and speak to me. And then let's see what God can do as you say yes to the Holy Spirit, yes to the Lord. Get a backbone. Obey, study, meditate. Next, respond. So we're going to go through these. First, we're going to accept reality. Second, we're going to listen for direction. Third, we're going to step up and take the next step. Fourth, we'll accept the challenge. And fifth, we're going to respond to the command. Joshua and Joshua 1, 10 and 11. Joshua then commanded the officers of Israel, go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready. In 3 days, you'll cross the River Jordan and take possession of the land the Lord has given you. That kind of sounds like hurricane preparation to me. Pastor would tell me, okay, we're leaving. For Katrina, he told me, get 3 days of clothes ready. He never tells me how much to pack or what to. He's like, but we had just been through, what hurricane was it before, hon? Ivan. And I brought all kind of stuff. All my pictures, all my photo albums, the pictures off the wall, everything came with us, okay? And so this time he says, listen, we're going to be gone 3 days. Don't pack more than 4 outfits. And so I was so good. I obeyed. And I did it. And that's all I brought. And so you know what he had to do? Buy me new clothes. And new shoes. Then he and some of our kids went back and tried to get all the pants I want. Well, I probably have this many pants, like, and they're folded in half. I probably have that many black pants because, you know, you need skinny pants and you need the flared legs and then you need the dress ones. And the same is for shoes. I have that many black shoes too. But where was I even going with that? Okay, the hurricane prep. So, see, it backfired on them because then they were in the dark and in the heat and in the smell from the refrigerator, and they had to try to go through all my black pants and discover which ones of those black pants that I wanted. But I digress. In 3 days, you're going to cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. Then he went on and said, the people answered Joshua. They said, "We will do whatever you command us, and we will go wherever you send us. We will obey you just as we obeyed Moses. And may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. So be strong and courageous." I love this. And this is why I love it. Because what did God tell Joshua? Remember I said three times he said it? Be strong and courageous. And then Joshua told the people, be strong and courageous. And then when it came time to do something big for God, you know what the people told their leader? We will go, we will do. And they said to their leader, be strong and be courageous. You want someone leading you who is strong, and you want somebody leading you who is courageous. And in those words, they not only acknowledged that, but they were telling him, go get them. Go get them, Joshua. We can do this. We've got this. Because God is on your side, right? So I just love that part. These men had to make a conscious decision to say, bye, Felicia. We are out of here. They were leaving Egypt, and they were going into the promised land that the Lord had promised them. So today, and my in conclusion really is in conclusion. In conclusion, I'm going to say, you know, so where is God leading you? Are you ready to accept reality? Accept the challenge? Like, think about your life and say, I'm in. I'm all in for God. I'm ready to do what he's called me to do.